Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Coach Kenny Payne is someone who played in the NBA. He is someone that coached in the NBA. He is someone that knows what NBA players look like. He was at Kentucky for 10 years. And so I want to play for you what he said about pushing his team and pushing his players that really got me excited as a fan.
For me, every single thing that we do when they're in the weight room, when they're in conditioning, when they're on the court doing individuals, when we're practicing, I want them to borderline break. Every single thing they're doing, we're pushing them to beyond what they think they can go.
Yeah, so beyond what they think they can go.
Beyond, the great beyond. Oh, it's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Jeff Lightsey joining me. Having a good time. Great discussions today with Jeff. It's really good stuff. We're going to get to some more basketball, but there's more football news that we need to get to as well. We'll do that here in just a second. Before we do that, I want to say thank you to Raising Cane's. Game plan ahead with the Raising Cane's mobile app by ordering at RaisingCane's.com. Check them out. I'm enjoying a little chicken tendy or two during the commercial breaks, enjoying that. And they got that Texas toast in there, the crinkle cut fries, the cane sauce. Delicious. Go ahead and take care of dinner the easy way. Go to Cane's tonight. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Okay, so I want to talk.
We got a chance to shock people.
I wanted to talk more about this during the last segment, but the first segment ran long, and then the Penny Boone discussion was long as well. But, I mean, it looks like this is just coming out. It came out about an hour ago. I didn't even see this. But let me see here. The current expectation around the Louisville program is that Ed Rusher, Tyler Barron will re-enter the transfer portal. Multiple tell at On3 Sports, the former Tennessee starter was committed to Ole Miss this winter before flipping to the Cards. Okay, so that coming down via Pete Nakos for On3. And he's on top of all this stuff. So if you're not following Pete Nakos, I don't know what to tell you, but he's got all the info when it comes to this. So, so from the outside looking in here, Jeff, I mean, that makes this guy, Penny Boone, they just had the Tennessee
Wesley Walker,
Luke Burgess,
Jalen Alderman,
mm-hmm. and then Jermaine Lolay. So that's like six guys.
Yeah,
within the last week entering the transfer portal. Does that give you any pause at all? Any worry that that's a lot of dudes. And some of those guys, not all of them, obviously, but some of those guys were probably set to play either starting roles or significant minutes going into the season. What's going on here when it comes to these players leaving U of L?
We knew the mass exodus was coming because they had too many scholarship players. They only had 85 scholarship players. Louisville was in the 90s before the spring game.
Right.
So we knew you had to essentially part ways with a few guys. So you got to part ways with a few guys just to get back down to 85. And you got to part ways with a few more guys because you're going to replenish what you feel like is something you need more help with. So like right now, receiver is a big need. Mm-hmm. So you need to get a couple of more receivers, at least one more. And so therefore, you got to make room for that. And that means guys got to get out the way. Part of it is, like Tyler Barron, a lot of people had high expectations for him because he did really well at Tennessee last year.
Yeah.
But he never played a game for Louisville, and he didn't even practice during the spring because he had a torn labrum. He was recovering from an injury.
Okay.
And then Pete Nakos actually put that out there. I knew this, but Pete Nakos put it out there. He didn't even practice during spring. Same with Wesley Walker. And these guys, a lot of these guys that are leaving are Luke Burgess. I'm going to be honest with you. I can say this now, but I was told over a year ago that he wasn't very good. It's just, okay. That's just what I was told. Like, I was told he probably will hit the portal at some point because he's probably not going to play at Louisville.
Okay.
I was told this by someone that would know.
And then so, Blankenbaker told me yesterday that he's been passed over by, I think the name's Joe Crocker,
yes.
I believe, offensive line.
So that's like, it was told to me that that was the case. And then when you bring in five more transfer linemen, both last year and multiple this year, that kind of cements what I was already told. It's like, okay, my guy's got good information. He would know. And then he never played. He probably wasn't good enough to play, at least in the coaching's eyes. Mm-hmm. Not just mine. It's not mine, but this is why I move on. Jalen Alderman, I think he got passed up. I think Stanquan Clark, Coach Brohm, the day he got hired, essentially when he took the job, there was a couple of commits that was already here and that stayed here. And the only one that he ever mentioned was Stanquan Clark. Mm-hmm. Because Coach Brohm is someone that has a history of playing freshmen, like true freshmen early.
Yeah.
He played Rondell Moore early. He played George Kalafelis early. He played David Bell early. He played a lot of these guys early that ended up being NFL players. And he said Stanquan Clark is one day going to be an NFL player. Well, if that's true, then that guy's got to see the field. He's the only freshman to break his red shirt last year, and this year looks like he's stepping into that starting role. That has nothing to do with Jalen Alderman. It's just that there's a guy better than me. And if I started 14 games and this guy was on the team mm-hmm. the whole time and now he's taking my spot, well, now I feel a certain kind of way. I need to go somewhere I'm going to play. Like, and
sure.
not be behind a guy that was behind me last year. So it's just a coming of age type of thing. The other guys, once again, the Tyler Barron and the Wesley Walkers, they only got 1 year left. And if I'm in a rotation, I don't want to be in a rotation if I only have 1 year left. And I think Pat Forty coined the phrase, if I ain't starting, I'm departing. I'm getting out.
If I ain't starting, I'm departing.
If I ain't starting, I'm departing. And especially when I got 1 year left and I only got the year because of COVID, yeah, I need to go somewhere that I know I'm going to get, you know, every snap, every game, as many times as possible. And right now, because Louisville has some depth at different spots, it's just not the case. And you have to win out. And if you're second string in spring and they're going to bring in more guys during the summer, and then you're starting the fall second or third string already, I might want to go somewhere where I actually start as number one and have to lose the job versus having to win a job. There's a difference there.
Does a lack of quality depth worry you at all? Like, because, I mean, I think they're – because Jeff Brohm went super heavy in the portal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how he got the name the Portal King, because he went super-duper heavy in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And two things. Number one, the quality depth question. Does that worry you now to where, I mean, these are good players we're talking about. These are players that were, you know, very, very much celebrated when they committed to Louisville. They were, you know, hyped up. And again, that's what you do. That's what fans do whenever they get players. This is a great player. They're going to do this, this, and this for my program. We don't know until they actually play. But the idea, especially in football, of having quality depth, that's why teams like Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State and Michigan are so successful.
Yes.
Is because not only do they get the best player, they get the best players to back up the best players.
Absolutely.
And it's tough in a place like Louisville, Kentucky to do that, because part of the sell job is, hey, if you come to Kentucky, you know, you're going to play the SEC, mm-hmm. but you're not going to sit behind anybody. You can play right away. So if you're a transfer portal dude or a recruit, come to Kentucky, you can play. And then you build depth from there. Same thing with Louisville. I think, yeah, you come play yes. the ACC. You know, this isn't Clemson. You're not going to just, you know, sit the entire time. You'll have opportunities to play. But depth is a commodity.
Yeah.
And depth is important. I'm not saying any of these dudes were going to be all-stars. You know, apparently there were injuries with some of them mm-hmm. anyway. But does that worry you at all that, A, he went too hard in the portal, or, B, that the quality depth might be lost?
It's what college sports is now.
It is. No, I mean, you're right about
everybody
that.
Everybody is losing kids to the
yep.
portal. It's the name of the game.
Kentucky's doing it right now, too.
It just is what it is. And so it can't surprise me, because just as we're losing guys, we're looking at guys, too. You're looking at bringing in more guys. So guess what? That means you'll probably lose a couple more.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the name of the game. But once you start adding players and once your roster is complete, you just have to rock with what you rock with. And if you trust your coach and trust that he is going to maximize the abilities of your team, then it is what it is. And once again, it's hard for me, because I know the portal so well, it's hard for me to get up for guys that didn't play. Like, you never
right.
played a down at Louisville,
right.
Wesley Walker, Tyler Barron, as good as I may have thought you were going to be for the Cards, Penny Boone or whatever, you never played a down. I don't even know what I'm missing. I don't even know what I'm, because you never played a down here. And so, like, and then a guy like Jalen Alderman, who actually was the only starter.
He was.
He's the only starter that's hit the portal so far. Think about that. He's only one starter that's hit the portal so far. there's a guy better than you. I know it. And it's not no disrespect to you, but I know Stan Kwan is better. Your coach has said it. That's why you're hitting the portal. So that doesn't hurt my feelings either.
Sure.
So it's like, okay, you know, we just got to rock with what you rock with, because that's the name of the college athletics nowadays. It's just how it works.
It
Alabama basketball made the Final Four. They losing guys every day.
Oh, yeah.
They lost
Duke,
another guy today.
Yeah.
Duke lost.
They lost their entire roster outside of like two dudes. Yeah.
That's literally the name of the game. So, yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. Just gotta, you know, if my coach was complaining about it, it'd bother me, right? Like, if you're not adjusting to the time,
sure,
that would bother me more so than the kids leaving. But if coach is like, hey, that's the name of college athletics, that's how we have to do that, we're used to it, it is what it is, I'm cool.
That's a good point that you brought up about.
I'm not going to let you blame me.
That's a good point that you brought up about, you know, Nate Oates in Alabama. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only did you make the Final Four and your coach reconfirmed and recommitted?
Yeah, turn to Kentucky.
I'm coming back to here, and I want to build something in Alabama. Then all your players leave you, which is not all of them, but a lot of them, I mean, are leaving Alabama. And same thing with John Shire. You know, he goes to the Elite Eight. A lot of these freshmen on the team, a lot of these other players on the team, they're in the transfer portal. Jeremy Roach, you know, going to Baylor now.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely wild, and it's tough to. You know, we were talking off air, and I said to you, for me, recruiting was easy to follow. It was a selected number of players. Let's see here. Mark Pope. Oh, thanks. Press release from Pope. Thank you. At times, Amari Williams looked like a man among boys on the court. He is a three-time conference defensive player of the year, which is incredibly hard to do. He is bringing a big presence to the game and is going to serve as a rim protector and rebounder. Amari is a gifted defensive player who can switch into any position, 1 through 5, which will add security and to how everybody else feels on the court. Offensively, he is dangerous or at the rim. He's one of the special passers in college basketball. Amari can make all the reads, all the passes, all the plays, and he fits exactly into what we want to do on either end of the court. So that's Mark Pope on Amari Williams.
So
there we go.
Today. Man, he's hyping up.
He's hyping him up. Yes, right. Yeah, you got to. When you get those guys, you got to talk nice about them. So we'll see with that. But he's official at Kentucky. But, you know, I was talking to you off air and talking about how it was, for me anyway, because you had like 150 recruits.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there was more out there, but you're really just paying attention to like 150 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then with John Calipari there, you really were just paying attention to like 20 of them. Yeah, 35, 35. It was easy to follow. It's like, okay, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And even with football recruiting in the old days.
And with Cal, you can literally just go to the top 20 players and be like,
exactly,
how many of these top 20 players is he going to get this year?
Right. You know, like, now with the transfer portal, I can't keep up with it. You keep up with it a lot better than I do.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Jack Grossman, who really he keeps up with it as well. But it is like, Jeff, I mean, you're talking about, you just got out of spring practice and 6 dudes are gone. And again, you know, whether or not they're important or not important, we'll find out when the season starts here in a few months. But it's like, okay, now they're gone. Okay, now we can't count on this guy. We can't count on this guy. We can't count on that guy. Okay, we got to go get 1, 2, 3, 4 more wide receivers. It's so difficult to keep track of, and I don't see how people do it. Like, you look at a guy like Travis Branham or Trilly Donovan, whoever he may be, the secret of Trilly Donovan, and that has to be all they do.
Yeah.
They just had to sit there and just watch players coming in and out of the transfer
portal.
Or
take phone calls. Like,
phone calls,
yeah,
emails.
So part of it is also to it's a campaign type of thing too.
Sure.
Like agents campaigning for their players, schools campaigning for themselves, essentially telling you like, this is like, they'll tell these Pete Nakoses and guys like, this is why guys are leaving.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to tell you, and the agents will call, and that's how some of these false stories will come out, because it's coming from agents or coming from rival people, right?
Like, Jaden Quaintance wants $2 million.
Yeah, like, that is...
Which his father's denied.
Yeah, he's denied it, but somebody put that number out there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was Quaintance or his dad, but somebody put it out there.
Sure.
Like, that guy, that's a respectable guy. Like, he didn't just make that up.
Right.
Like, he got that from somewhere, and so a lot of it, it's a PR type of thing. Like Penny Boone's people were doing a PR thing when he left here. Like, different people are trying to campaign for the guys, because if you look too bad, especially if you're jumping from school to school, like, you, the best thing that you can have on your side is your character, right?
Yeah.
Because you're jumping from school to school. I don't know what that means, but if bad news and bad PR PR stuff is getting out there about you, it's not the best look. So I'm going to call the Pete Nate Coasts, and I'm going to call these different people and say, oh, we're listening to offers from all these different people.
Absolutely.
Because it makes you look like a hotter commodity. Maybe you really are. Like, he's down to Georgia and Kentucky. You're not going to know
Georgia. You're not going to Georgia. Yeah, we know you're not going to Georgia.
You get what I'm saying? But it sounds good.
It sounds really good. Oh, yeah. There'd
so
be players.
What's happening.
There'd be players like on the basketball side that would put
it's
Kentucky.
It's unfortunate that we're talking about this right now.
It is. It really is. And there are people that were on. There are recruits that would, you know, say, you know, Kentucky's on my list. And everybody knew Kentucky wasn't on their list.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to basketball, it's like, mm-hmm. I cut Kentucky. It's like, okay, good for you. Kentucky wasn't really an option for you. But
it happens in football all the time. It's like, I'm going to this school over offers from Alabama and Ohio State.
Penny
knowing
Boone,
damn well that Alabama and Ohio State were not interested.
Well, apparently Penny Boone's in it right now. It's like, it's either Kentucky or Georgia.
Or Georgia. I'm going to Georgia. I'm going to be the fifth string running back there. I'll never see the field. I was the third string running back at Louisville, but I'll go be fifth string at Georgia.
Yeah, and for Penny Boone is like, Georgia is like, huh?
Yeah.
They're like, what? Like, oh, where'd this come from?
George is like, who's this guy? I've never even heard of him.
Well, part of it, too, though, like when it comes to scholarship offers, the school can offer you a scholarship, but it's like a standby scholarship.
Right.
If you ever wrote standby on a plane, that means you're not always getting on that plane. Like,
oh,
I've
sure.
had standby tickets, but that means if the plane isn't full, then you get on the plane. So a lot of these offers are essentially like standby offers. They're not what we call, like, every guy
solid
is a,
offers.
Yeah, they're not
yeah.
what we call a take. Like, it's like you're not, like, you have an offer, but are you a take? Yes or no? And a lot of times it's a no.
Right.
But you technically have an offer because they did say we were offering you a scholarship on the condition that we don't fill up that room before with these other guys that we're going after.
Right.
So there's that too. And when it comes to the portal, image is almost everything.
Because
100%. Especially with guys that don't have a ton of tape. Because a lot of these guys in the portal don't have it. They have a bunch of, you see all the time kids post their practice highlights. It's because they have no game tape. The ones with game tape don't post anything. The coaches come for them. But the ones that are really trying to find a new spot, they always post in practice highlights because they have no game tape. And so at that point, since I don't have any tape, I have to make it an illusion, right? Like that more people want me. This is who so-and-so is hearing from, and it's a big list of all the schools in the country. And it's like, he's heard from them. Maybe a coach sent him a DM or whatever, but that doesn't mean he have a scholarship. That doesn't mean he have a spot on the roster. That doesn't mean
right.
they want him or a visit set up. Like all of that stuff. So that's why you have to sift through the weeds on some of this stuff when it comes to the transfer portal, and especially when, as our teams are building their roster, because
right.
you're going to hear their name or the school's name floated with a million kids, but at the end of the day, you can only have 12 to 13 guys on your roster.
On your roster, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then this just coming in from Travis Graff via Cats Illustrated, told UK is out for Quaintance, will be making the in-home visit per source. Now, that doesn't say if that was Quaintance canceling or Pope canceling, but apparently Memphis is really picking up steam for Jaden Quaintance. So, we'll see what happens, but apparently Memphis, he is going to visit Memphis, and there may be a big offer for him there, so we'll see. That was quick. That was that lasted less than 24 hours. So there's that. So
he's not going to Arkansas, but he's not going to Kentucky, and it's down to
basically
Memphis.
Louisville and Memphis.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, Louisville and Memphis, and probably it looking more like Memphis.
Yeah.
So RJ Davis is apparently going back to North Carolina. I didn't know he could go back to North Carolina. I thought he was done for because he's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
How do they keep their guys eligible? Oh, I wonder how.
Yeah, I wonder how. But then again, Ty Spalding is tweeting
yes,
some stuff
did.
Out there, so we'll see.
And Ty's one of the most connected people.
He is a very connected
like,
person,
Ty,
yes.
Ty, and part of it is because Ty, one, he's just good at his job, and two, like he's got in with the staff. He's gotten good in with the people at U of L, and like I said, it's a PR thing. This staff
sure.
at U of L understands what we've been through here at Louisville the last few years, so they understand to make friends of guys like Diener and Ty and different people.
Yeah,
across.
Absolutely.
And when they have good news, they're willing to share their good news. Like, Ty's not putting out, like, it's so it looks like is with his, you know, gifts and stuff he's putting out. There's good news coming because this staff wants to build excitement. They want to buy goodwill. They want to be in the good graces
right.
of Card Nation. And so when we have good news, we're not going to hold it and keep it secret and tell you we're moving in silence. No. We have good news. We're going to scream
it
from
yeah,
the
which is exactly
mountaintops. We're going to scream it from the mountaintops and tell everybody that and anybody that wants to know what's going on, this is how we're doing it. And that's why I think there's some more good news coming.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, again, it definitely sounds that way. on that that side there. It is funny, though, that Georgia's like, we had no idea that Penny Boone was, that we were considering him. It's nice to know. I'll read some text here. Well, then we'll take a break, get Jack Grossman on here. Let's see here. After Penny Boone scores his third touchdown against Louisville and throws L's down, it's going to hit like crack. Texter, we all know Mac beat Cal for Aiden Gahan. No, he didn't. It was Aiden Gahan did not have an offer from Kentucky. It's been known. Cooper Hinson and I argued about that on air, and I was like, Cooper, I'm telling you, he doesn't. Oh, yes, he does. And it came to find out later he never had an offer. Texter, somebody also said UK U of L checks for bouncing hard to pick and choose what's real information that people put out there. Oh, 100%. Have you all looked at Pete Nako's Twitter profile? He looks like he's 14 years old.
He does look young.
He does look very, very young. Texter.
Oh, we got some new stuff in here, Strieble, just now by Joe Tipton.
What did he say?
You, transfer portal's always popping. This is Utah State transfer big man, Great Ozabor, the Mountain West Player of the Year, has scheduled the following official visits per his agent: Kentucky, Louisville, Texas Tech, in Washington.
Okay. He's a very good player. He averaged like 17 points per game.
Yeah, so 17 and 9 rebounds, 3 assists. And a lot of people early thought this was an easy Kentucky win. A lot of people were predicting him to Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And now it looks like he's got a visit to Louisville. So it looks like, Mark Pope and Pat Kelsey going head-to-head on a lot of these recruits. A lot of the same, because they play a similar style. So they're going at the similar style players. It's going to be interesting to see who picks who.
Absolutely. So he's got Kentucky April 29th through May 1st. So that starts next week. Louisville, he goes right from Kentucky to Louisville May 1st to the 3rd.
Oh, he's going to be here for Derby.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's over.
I'm sure.
It's over, baby.
Then Texas Tech May 4th to the 6th. And then Washington May 7th through the 9th. So that's great Ozabor's. He would be a good player for whoever gets him there. So there we go.
I don't know if he makes those last two visits. I think he either commits to Kentucky or commits to Louisville before he gets to
be last on the list is not ever a good thing. It's not ever a good thing. All right, let's take a break. We'll get Jack Grossman here, helpless, go through by the the transfer portal. I thought Jaden Quays was coached by a guy on PK's staff at AAU. Yes. Texter, he's visiting Derby week after his UK visit. Let's go. All right, let's go ahead and take a break on the other end. Jack Grossman. Hey, it's getting warm outside. It's going to stay warm eventually. I promise everybody it will stay warm and it won't be 50 degrees outside. It's getting warmer. It's getting better. When it does get hot, if your AC doesn't work, call the experts that I trust at BJ Heating and Cooling. That's BJHeatCool.com. That's who I use here at ESPN Louisville. They're a factory-authorized Bryant dealer, and they teamed up with Bryant Dust Equipment, and they'll do whatever it takes to make those rooms enjoyable again. Bryant mini splits are quiet, efficient, and avoid the installation of bulky ductwork. Go ahead and give them a call today. Schedule your free estimate. 0% financing for 3 years with approved credit. BJ Heating and Cooling are locally and family-owned, celebrating 40 years of servicing Kentuckiana. Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling, BJHeatCool.com. Popcorn Gooby is who Biden beat up. Texter. No, that was Corn Pop. It's Corn Pop. It's Corn Pop who Biden beat up.
Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, let's go ahead and get Jack Grossman on here in just a minute. But before we do that, full play-by-play. Again, tonight, Louisville Baseball on after Mark Ennis here coming very soon. 6 o'clock p.m. is when you'll get to catch that game. Reds versus Phillies, 6:10 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Then tomorrow, Reds versus Phillies. They wrap that up at 6:10 p.m. on ESPN 680 1057 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. So let's go ahead and do what I said we're going to do. Get Jack Grossman on here, the Field of 68 expert, Floyd Street's finest. Jack, my friend, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Chew. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray hits the buzzer beater in Anthony Davis's face last night. So cat on cat crime.
Yes.
Were you happy for Jamal or sad for AD at that point?
happy for Jamal. I like the Nuggets better. I don't really have an NBA team, but I like Jamal Murray is a great story in the NBA. Turned out to be a very, very good player. Obviously, being teamed up with Jokic is going to do that for you. But no, he's been really, really cool. Davis has been good for a long time. He's got a championship ring. Well, so does Jamal Murray because last year. So yeah, it didn't bother me at all. I was happy for Jamal Murray. There's your answer, Jack.
I'm with you, man. I always loved Jamal Murray.
I loved him.
He was one of the Kentucky guys I really, really loved watching play. And honestly, it was really cool. I got to work that game last night, so I had a great night.
Oh, you were there?
Well, no, I was working from Atlanta.
Gotcha.
It was a lot cooler to be there. But yeah, no, I had all the NBA playoffs last night. And the end of the night. So we're having a good time, Strieble. We're just, you know, open PCs don't try, and working playoff games. So I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good there with Jeff Lightsey, so he may have some questions for you in terms of some Louisville portal guys. But, I mean, the main reason why I had you on, Jack, is because I'm really trying to figure out how to navigate this portal. Okay, and I don't know anything about hardly any of these guys. Jeff knows a lot more than I do when it comes to the portal guys. But I'm trying very hard, Jack, to recalibrate my brain as far as, you know, what to think about the basketball offseason, how to operate in this new look Kentucky with Mark Pope now as a head coach. The way he has to build the team is he has to build it through the portal. So I'm going to need your help here. I'm going to rely on you. I hope that you've watched some of these guys. I know Jeff has as well. But I'll go ahead and start with the newest commit for Kentucky. Amari Williams, he commits over the weekend. Mark Pope sealed the deal with Williams at Keeneland. Went ahead and said yes to Kentucky. Mark Pope released a very long statement about the way the guy plays. He was a three-time defensive player of the year. Averaged like 12 points, 7 rebounds a game. Is known as a rim protector. What can you tell me about Amari Williams, and how should Kentucky fans feel about him?
Yeah, I mean, really good shot blocker, a guy that's going to have a really good defensive presence. He honestly, I kind of felt like he fit more of the John Calipari mold of a big than what I thought about Mark Pope. But
I agree with that, actually.
Confirm my thought right now. But I don't remember being much of a three-point shooter. He's not really going to facilitate much of an offense there. But he's going to be a really good rim protector, and he's going to rebound the basketball and do a lot of things traditional big that would – that you would want from him. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Indiana had also prioritized him before Umar Ballo came into the picture, because he's that kind of traditional, old school, you know, going to do a lot of the things that you wanted a big man to do back in the day. To where I'm fine if you take a guy like that, if you're Mark Pope, going into the SEC, you're going to need some added size there, especially, you know, we talk about Great Osabor, dude that both Kentucky and now Louisville are in on. If they were to get him, he's, you know, he's only 6'8". He's a pretty undersized guy for a big man. And yes, he was phenomenal at Utah State last year out in the Mountain West. Yes, he was in the Mountain West at Utah State. And really being able to flourish in that league, the SEC, as good as the Mountain West was last year, and it was a really good basketball league, the SEC is a big step up there. So there would be some questions with him saying, okay, could he play the five for in the SEC, or would he have to move down to the four? Either way, I think he'd still be a very, very productive player, because he's a dude that shoots the ball, scores the ball. You talk about, you know, what Mark Pope wants. He's a dude that averaged almost 3 assists per game last year at Utah State.
Yeah.
as a big man. Like, he can run the offense, whether he's at the four or the five. No, I'm either playing the five or next to Amari Williams at the four. Or to where you can run the offense through him. He only took 14 three-pointers all year. He only made 3 of them, which actually kind of shocked me, because I thought he had a little bit more of an outside threat to him. So he's not really going to give you much from that standpoint. But whether he's at Kentucky or Louisville, if one of those schools are going to end up getting him, I think he would be a phenomenal fit for what either school is trying to do right now. And, of course, Amari Williams, again, I think he's a really solid piece as well. I don't think he's a stud by any means, but I think he's a really, really good player that'll give Kentucky production. You know what you're signing up for with him. That's the type of guy that, you know, you want a very baseline, you know, you're going to get what you're asking for from him. He's going to finish around the rim, he's going to block shots, he's going to rebound the ball. Those are 3 things, no matter what year it is, are going to be very productive to have for Mark Pope in his first year.
Jack Grossman with us, Field of 68, Floyd Street's finest. Well, that's kind of how I felt about Amari Williams. It was a guy that's like, okay, Mark Pope got a commit, and I think that was important to get a commit not from somebody not from BYU they had prior connections with. He was able to get that done. As far as a player's concerned, you know, we'll see. I'm the same way with Great Olsebor. I don't know anything about him. I know he played at Utah State. I know he averaged 17 points a game. Like that's the most I know about him.
Olsebor, I watched a lot more Olsebor than I have Amari Williams. I really like Osabor's game. And you talk about, you know, both, and this, again, this applies to both Kentucky and Louisville. Utah State with Danny Pringle stepped into a situation last year where he replaced every single scholarship player on the roster. They started completely from scratch. So Osabor was able to come in, transfer in, and relish that situation and really, really be productive. You look at Kentucky and Louisville, they're in two very similar situations, but at a much higher level than what you as Utah State was in last year, to where Osabor, he's already done this once. He knows how to go through it to where,
yeah,
can, even though he's moving to a new system, all that stuff, I think for either one of those schools, that would be, that would take away some of the growing pains from the fact that he's been able to go through and do this already, which could be helpful for him and helpful for the other guys he brings in as well. Of course, Washington does have Danny Sprinkle now, who is his coach at Utah,
right,
State, so they'll probably play a factor in that recruitment as well.
What do you think about, and then Jeff, jump in here anytime. Mm-hmm. Corinne Johnson, he committed to Louisville yesterday. Jeff was filling me in a little bit on his game. What did you think about him and what he did last year at Washington? Obviously, Pac-12 sixth man of the year as well. So what did you think about Corinne Johnson?
Yeah, first of all, I did a double take when I saw his name because I had to make sure it wasn't Coron Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about him. Yeah.
Yeah, but before I get my actual thoughts on, I have a friend at work down here in Atlanta who's from Seattle, big Washington guy, texted me yesterday, Louisville got Corinne Johnson. He was very angry that he didn't go back to Washington.
Really? Okay.
So for whatever that's worth, there you go. But, I mean, he's a nice player. He's not going to be a stud. Like, I think Louisville's still in on Chucky Hepburn also, and I think Hepburn would definitely start over Johnson, but he's, you know, he's the type of guy, it's kind of like Amari Williams. Not every guy is going to be a grand slam, but you need people that can come in and fill roles and play those roles really, really well. And he's a really smart player, he's a really good passer, can handle the ball, and a really good defender, and he can knock down some spot-up shots as well. Those are a lot of boxes that you need checked off if you're Louisville when it comes to guard play. So I think that's another guy. That's a very quality add that's going to be a nice piece for Pat Kelsey and U of L, to where he's not going to be the star, but he's a guy that can come in and can be a really productive player at an ACC level, which is, unlike Amari Williams, when the Pac-12 and the ACC very similar when it comes to how good the leagues were. So, mediocre the leagues were, but I don't think there's going to be nearly as much of a jump as there would be for, you know, Amari Williams coming over from Drexel.
Yeah, no, neither team has landed like a star. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I mean, I like the Terrence Edwards kid is a baller.
He's a good player. Very
really
good player.
Good. Yeah. And if either one of them gets Osabor, I think he could be really, really good. Good, but no, I mean, they haven't. I mean, I'm just going to say him because he's the first one that comes to mind, and he just happens to be going to IU, but they haven't landed a dude that's generated the hype like an Umar Bala generated,
right,
up in Bloomington for Indiana, which, you know, that's kind of the beauty of the transfer portal, though. No, I mean, we've talked about it in the past. I mean, you know, no one talked last year about Marcus Domask going from Southern Illinois to Illinois, and he ends up being second team all Big Ten, and he had, like, I think five different games where he dropped 30 points, and he was – and they basically ran that offense through him in the half court for a team that made the Elite Eight and had the best offense in the country last year. I mean, no one talked about Mark Sears going from Ohio to Alabama 2 years ago, and he was the most vital player, the dude that ran everything through them.
Dalton Kinect to Tennessee.
Dalton Kinect was talked about more than those two. I mean, he was viewed as, like, a top 20-ish transfer, definitely not the guy he turned out to be, but, like, I remember he was a dude, like, for example, last year, I was very angry when Mike Woodson did not get him,
right,
last year. I didn't think he'd be the SEC player of the year, but I thought he'd be a dude that would score, you know, 13, 14, 15 points a game and stretch the floor more. But But, you know, you have these dudes. I mean, no one thought Oscar Sheba was going to be player of the year when he transferred
to Virginia. Absolutely not.
I mean, so the transfer portal is so hard to peg, and that's part of what makes it so much fun. Because, you know, a lot of the top-line guys, they do end up hitting, whether it be, you know, Dickinson to Kansas or Terrence Shannon to Illinois or Kevin McCullough again to Kansas or some of those dudes. But also, or like Caleb Love last year, you're going to Arizona being a first-team All-American. But a lot of it is just trying to find the right fits for what you need and guys to play the roles for what you need them. And it makes it very, very hard on our end. And honestly, Shreeple, it's not a surprise that you're sick of it and hate it because you hated this.
I did. I hated it. You know.
You laughed at Carly Jones back in the day, the Radford Warriors.
Yeah.
All the transfer portal is a bunch of Radford Warriors.
It is.
Carly Jones these days.
I'm in hell, Jack.
Some of them are really, really good, and some of them are going to bust. And honestly, you don't really know which is which until mm-hmm. they're on campus playing. and that's what's kind of, you know, crazy about it right now. But I do think both coaches are doing a good job of filling in a lot of the, you know, depth pieces going on rotation. Just, yeah, no, I'm with you. Especially on the Kentucky end, they need to land that stud there to really fill it in. And Louisville, I think Edwards might be that guy, but they definitely could use, you can have enough star power, of course, but still trying to land, you know, the marquee piece of the class.
Jack Grossman with us here on ESPN 680-1057, the roundtable. That's all great info, Jack, and you're right. This is something that is totally new and foreign to me, and I'm already worn out by it. This has been the most exhausting basketball offseason that I've been on the radio. You had the coaching search that wore me out, and then it culminated with Mark Pope, which you know what my feelings were about that. I'm trying to come around, and now I've got to try and figure out this portal stuff, and it's so, like Jeff and I have been talking about, Jack, it's fluctuating and moving all the time. And you had Jaden Quaintance, Mark Pope was going to visit him today, and he dropped Arkansas. So I was like, okay, you feel pretty good about that. And then it just comes out right before you come on air that visit's been canceled, and that is basically down to Louisville and Memphis. And now I'm going to read you what. Ty, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to read you what was on the message board here. But it said it's down to Louisville, Memphis, and the Memphis visit is being pushed back and may not take place. So, I mean, there's a thought that it's very heavy Louisville right now for Jaden Quaintance.
I mean, that would be a huge piece, obviously.
Yeah.
That would be the blue chip, McDowell's All-American, the guy that we're used to talking about with Cal and Kentucky.
Exactly.
that would be a really, really big piece, and he's a dude that would fit again, Mark Pope and Pat Kelsey. I think that's the thing that all three local area coaches have done this offseason. Obviously, Louisville and Kentucky are still trying to catch back up and fill in all the pieces. Indiana at this point is probably just going to add a shooter or two, at least hopefully. That seems like what they're doing at this point, but most of their roster's already filled out. But you're seeing the coaches recruit, for better or for worse, which for Indiana, that means, you know, a bunch of guys that can't shoot the ball. But you're getting the best of what you can get to where that fits the scheme that the coaches are trying to run. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's very important to think about when it comes to all three of them. For Indiana, that means, you know, if it bombs again with all the talent they've brought in, that means you probably fire Mike.
I think that, you know, when Zach Osborne was on with me last week, and he said that they did the exact opposite that they did at Kentucky. Kentucky, they basically just took all of Kyle's NIL money and said, yeah, you gotta come with your own stuff. Whereas Indiana's like, no, we'll give you all the money. You go get the players, and if you can't coach them, then you're out. Do you feel like that's what they're doing right now at Indiana with Woodson?
Exactly. I think Indiana's in a phenomenal spot. I don't know if phenomenal is the right word, because obviously you would rather just be winning and not have any conversation about what the coach would be. But they're in a great spot in terms of they have given Mike Woodson all the NIL you could possibly want. Mike Woodson has gone out and he's gotten the best players to fit his scheme that you can get in this transfer portal class with that NIL, with Umar Bala, with Miles Rice, with Keenan Carlisle. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, they've been rumored to maybe get Luke Goody, an Illinois transfer that shot like 45% from three the last 3 years. That would be a really good ad. They've rumored a dude from Florida Gulf Coast that shot in the upper 40s as well. So where you can see they have three scholarships open. They're actually trying to use that on shooting now just for like depth and shooting.
Right.
What they should be doing. To where they're going to have have the best possible roster, I would argue, for to play the way that Mike Woodson wants to play. And you're going to see if it works. Great. You're going to win a lot of games, probably be a top 4, 5, 6 in the NCAA tournament, and have a chance to make some sort of a run, no matter what that may be. If it doesn't work, you miss the tournament, you flame out, and you say, Mike, we have given you every single resource that we could give you. You brought in the best players. There's absolutely no excuses here. So I think Indiana's in a good spot right now to where they've laid all their chips out on the table. Now it's up to Mike Woodson to be able to show if he can do it or if he can't do it. And it's going to be a big make or break here. Another guy, I mentioned him earlier, kind of steering back to Louisville, Kentucky, that I think will be really, really good for Louisville. I know he's been mentioned some, just Chucky Hepburn. I think he would be a phenomenal fit for what Louisville.
I've heard his name as well. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the Wisconsin point guard that's in the portal right now. He's a dude that was supposed to take a big jump in terms of scoring and shooting the basketball this past year. Didn't really happen. But he's still baseline a dude that is going to make winning plays. I mean, if anyone remembers watching the Purdue-Wisconsin Big Ten semifinal this past year, he was the dude that hit the buzzer beater to send the game into overtime. He was also the guy that picked up Braden Smith's full court with Wisconsin down 1 and 30 seconds left and pestered him for about 12, 13 seconds to where Smith finally got so frustrated that he elbowed and pushed him down to force an offensive foul and get Wisconsin the ball back, where they ended up winning the game on the next possession. He's a dude that just makes winning ball plays. He's a really, really smart player. He had a buzzer beater, ironically, also against Purdue. His freshman year that won Wisconsin the Big Ten, he makes really, really clutch plays. And again, he's the type of guy that when you're trying to establish a culture and build something, I think he would be a phenomenal player to have to kind of be the point guard and just be able to distribute and set everyone else up that you end up getting. And again, even though he didn't take that big jump to where, you know, people thought he'd be averaging 16, 17, 18 points a game, that didn't happen. He was closer to the 8, 10, 12 point range this year. Of course, also no one envisioned A.J. Stewart becoming what he was for the Badgers as well. So I think that the combination of him and Corin Johnson would be a really, really good 1-2 punch for Pat Elsie in the backcourt to start out having those be his two point guards.
Last one for you, Jack Grossman. Appreciate the time. You know, with some of these guys, you know, like Jaden Quaintance, and then it appears that Samto Cyril will be moving on, and a lot of the players that were at Kentucky didn't follow John Calipari to Arkansas. Are you surprised at all that Cal wasn't able just to do what he did when he came from Memphis to Kentucky and just put all of his recruits together and just say, okay, I'm going here, just follow me, and then they all just followed suit the way, you know, that they did with Boogie Cousins and John Wall and Eric Bledsoe and those guys? It does seem that Cal's having a little more trouble getting those guys to Fayetteville than many people thought, including myself.
Well, I mean, part of it is most of the time they do recruit to the coach rather than the program. That is true.
Yes.
However, it's a very different thing trying to go to Jamarcus Cousins and John Wall and Eric Bledsoe and say, hey, I know I told you we were going to play in Conference USA in Memphis, but now we're actually going to be playing in the SEC at the number one tradition-rich program in the country. That's a much easier sell job to come follow me to than it is to going from Kentucky to Arkansas, which is a fine job, but it's not a Kentucky. It's not a Louisville. It's not an Indiana. It's good, but it's not that. I mean, I just think it's a much harder sell job this time around than what he had back in 2009 with Memphis going to Kentucky. Like the program is probably, again, it's not the main thing you're referring to. It is mostly the coach and the NIL money, even though everyone has NIL money, as you guys talked about earlier. But I mean, the program does matter as some sort of a tiebreaker if the money and everything else is all equal. And it's a lot easier, again, to recruit people to Kentucky than it is to Arkansas. I mean, people have to remember, like, yes, Cal had Marcus Camby at UMass, and yes, he had Derrick Rose and Tyree Devin and those guys at Memphis. But he wasn't pumping in classes every year like he was in Kentucky at those two schools. Mm-hmm. Like the Memphis team that he took to the Final Four and almost won the title with Derrick Rose was a one and done. But everyone else on that team were dudes that he recruited and had to actually develop. Like, it was a very different story. Like, he was trying to get the one and done, but he wasn't getting three, four, five, six of them like he was in those early days at Kentucky, or like even the last couple years at Kentucky. So, I mean, the Kentucky job absolutely elevated Calipari as well. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens to a dude that was and I'm not trying to take away anything from Cal. Like, obviously, you get Derrick Rose, Tyreek Evans, the Memphis. You get Marcus Carey to UMass.
Yeah.
He's one hell of a bleeping recruiter.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's the greatest of all time. He is.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But doing it at Kentucky is a lot easier than doing it at Arkansas or Memphis or UMass. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he kind of has that rude awakening a little bit. Not that he won't be able to recruit. He's going to be able to recruit. He's always been able to recruit. He's going to get all the NIL there. But it definitely is surprising, but looking back to what his Memphis and UMass teams were, maybe it shouldn't have been as stunning as what I've reacted to that so far.
All right. Appreciate the time, Jack. We'll catch up with you next week, because I'm sure there'll be some more names I've never heard before, and I'll need your help. So thank you very much for joining Jeff and I today. Appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Always enjoy it. Have a good one.
All right, Jack Grossman helping us out with the transfer portal. How you feel about that, Jeff?
I feel good. I feel good about what Ty's putting out. I feel good about it all, man. And like you said, it's just, this is going to be our live stream until at least June, like early part of June, because I think most schools want to get their roster filled up by what? Memorial Day.
I would hope
around that time, because your first summer session comes in June.
Sure.
So you want to have
the bulk of your guys
locked up by June. And so, yeah, this is what our life's going to be until that time.
It's going to be a frantic couple of weeks here as we go through it. All right. Let me read a couple texts here. Then we'll get to a break and get into the 5 o'clock hour. Texter, when Jack does that stupid little laugh, I immediately start punching myself in the face. Well, that's sad, because I like that laugh. It's charming, Texter. You need to get over it. Texter, Jay Quaintance is a nice piece if he stays 2 years. This is talks. Okay. I know. He is a baby. Give me two experienced upperclass transfers who have grinded and seen battles over a player that's going to need a binky when the court gets hot. When are we going to learn to get players who peak in talent while in college over the player who will peak in the NBA? To be fair to talks, that's been his take forever.
Yeah.
And he's not changing it with now J.D. Quaintance, which actually respect.
Yeah. No, and it's fair. It's because, like, this isn't, like, most of the one and dones, it's hard to win with them. Then this guy is a 16-year-old.
He's 16,
like, he's 16 years old.
Still a great get if you get him.
No,
obviously.
It just shows how mentally talented he is ranked as high as he is. But he is only 16. And by the season start, he'll be 17, going against guys in college basketball right now that are 23.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 6-year difference. Like, it's a major difference.
Sure.
So how do you match up against those guys? It is a case study, essentially, what it's going to be like.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be younger than almost any freshman that's coming into the country, but again, he has the talent to be able to do it. It's the mental aspect of it. Is he going to be able to mentally be there? And look, I've seen at Kentucky where these freshmen come in sometimes and they're, you know, the best thing in the planet AAU, and then they get to Kentucky like Khalil Whitney and flame out. But it's really cool when you get them like an Anthony Davis or Jamal Murray,
Rob Dillingham, or Reed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, but again, I'm having to retrain my brain. I don't like it.
Those guys are gone, buddy.
Oh, They're gone.
Better get used to the Chandlers. What is it?
The Colin Chandler. Colin Chandler. Texter, Jack laughing at his own IU jokes. Absolutely, because who else is going to laugh at IU jokes around here? I'm not going to. Jeff isn't going
chance.
To. Zach sure as hell isn't going to. He's a Big Ten guy. He's laughing at IU, not with IU. Isn't that right, Zach? You're laughing at IU. Yeah, so are you scared of Kurt Cignetti?
Hell no.
Did you see they tailgated for the IU spring game? They've never done that before.
I'll give Indiana fans this. They're really good at tailgating, because they know once they get inside the stadium, it's just all tears from there.
Exactly. They just stay out. They should just stay out and tailgate the rest of the game.
The only time that stadium ever sells out is when Michigan or Ohio State goes there.
Exactly. Then they do the flyover picture with Ohio State because it's similar colors.
Yeah, that's right. It's all a bunch of red. Look at all those IU fans.
Look at all these fans. And they're all
they actually care about football. They didn't all black out at the tailgate.
Coach Cignetti, he's coming for Ryan Day.
I'm so scared.
I know you're terrified.
I'm shaking in my boots.
Texter, Tox is by far my favorite card person on Twitter as a Cats fan. Yeah, I love Tox. He's don't let him tell you, but know that I told you, but he's a great guy. He's a super nice guy. Texter, you know Louisville should just take Jaden Quaintance and Osabor from UK. Why the hell not? Texter, UofL is getting players who grind. UK is getting players who soak. Thank you. I don't know what that means. Well, I do know what that means. All right, let's go ahead. Let's take a break. On the other end, I got something for Big Itz. Dan Issel stabbed me right in the back. So we'll get to that and more here on the roundtable. But hey, 812-HIMP, 502-HIMP, they're still the official CBD and hemp providers of Kentucky Derby 150. Their big sale ended yesterday, but that's okay because they still have all those products. They even have mushrooms now available there at 502 Hemp and 812 Hemp. They're not like the psychedelic kind. They do more to like kind of, you know, calm you down and have a really nice, good calming experience. So they have those there. They have new products there all the time. They have local honey, which is really, really cool, helping you with your allergies and all those things. They have all kinds of stuff there. It's a health and wellness store. It's not just a hemp store or a CBD store. They have all kinds of products to help you out there at 502 Hemp in the Douglas Hills location, 812 Hemp, Clarksville, right off the Lewis and Clark Parkway by Kroger and Court Physical Therapy. They have very nice staff, very nice customer service, and Dee Dee Taylor is one of the most respected local business owners here in the city of Louisville. So go check them out. Tell them the Roundtable sent you. And 502hemp.com, 812hemp.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.